Hi, welcome again to Ancestors and Cultural Healing. Thanks for your trust. In this first part of lesson one, I want to take a little time to review the foundations and core assumptions of everything that follows. There are three main currents or types of practice that are nourishing what will be shared in this course. The first is the body of material that is ancestral lineage healing. If you're here, you're familiar with that. Those are prerequisite to be in the course. You have at least two lineages in a healed condition. And that material is shared through the book I wrote, Ancestral Medicine, through the in-person intensives, through the online course, Ancestral Lineage Healing, and through sessions with the practitioners or the practitioner training itself. Many of you have done the practitioner training. So you know that body of material. The main thing is that you actually have done the tending with two of your lineages to a place where they're in a healed condition. So if you haven't, you want to be focusing on that to be able to then engage the practices of this course. The second thing that's nurturing along the material here is an anti-supremacist or an anti-imperialist ethic. The anti-supremacy really captures it more fully. And this is spelled out in the Inhabiting the Times course, which is included with your registration here. And it's something that I spoke to some in the book, some in the lineage healing course. I mention it in the intensives. The practitioners cover it to a degree in the practitioner training. But this course is really intended to bring that to more fruition on the level of practice with lineages. What happens in the Inhabiting the Times course, which I recommend if you haven't listened to review that as we go along, as it's a more thorough treatment of the cultural troubles, is that I break down six lenses to think about supremacy and the antidotes to those different kinds of supremacies. And we'll move through that in this course throughout the 12 lessons, as well as other material. For example, the first of the six that we'll get into in lesson two is human supremacy or earth disconnection, the idea that humans that we're somehow privileged above, better than, more intelligent than our other than human kin, whether they be animals, plants, stones, spirits, etc. And we also talk about the greed and hoarding, or in a sense, like economic supremacy, or the idea that you can have more than others and in a hoarding way, and that's somehow okay. Different kinds of supremacies around gender, like male supremacy or cis heteronormativity. And we talk about colonialism or cultural supremacy and theft of land and ancestral supremacy or essentially racism or ethnic othering, the idea that your people or your group is better than another group. And then just the idea that your views are fundamentally better than the views of another person. Sure, we can have core values, but I'm talking about a rigidity and a dehumanizing and a depersonifying of others based on your values. So those are the six in brief. They're explored in much greater depth in the Inhabiting the Times course. We'll unpackage them in a practice-oriented way here. But the underlying concept there is that supremacy is deeply problematic. It takes lots of different forms. It is a kind of structural risk with the way our brains are set up to recognize patterns that we can easily start to attribute certain meanings and value judgments to the differences we notice. And it's essential to proactively account for that risk by holding values that are anti-supremacist so we don't fall into those traps and make choices or even systems and institutions that reflect that kind of oppressive supremacist view. And that's not just political, it's not just cultural analysis or historical analysis. It has direct bearing on spiritual well-being. And one place that it takes shape is with our ancestors. So the second main thing is an anti-supremacist ethic, plus the ancestral lineage healing material. And the third foundation is really applied ritual. Taking those different teachings and putting them into direct, skillful, embodied practice. This is a practice-oriented process. I'm excited and interested in how it goes for you to apply these teachings in a practice-oriented way with your specific lineages. And so from those different foundational currents or sources, there are different underlying assumptions to the work. Mostly, the assumptions still hold that I teach through the ancestral lineage healing work, which are basically five core assumptions. I won't review them at length here. They hopefully will sound familiar, but those are: something continues after death, not all the dead are equally well, they kind of run a full spectrum like the living, they can change, they can be not well and become well. We can communicate with them, that's normal, that happens, it's not always helpful. We can do it on purpose, it can be spontaneous, but communication is possible. And we have a lot of influence on one another, whether or not we want to account for that. And so all I would add here, there's one caveat really on that last one. We have a lot of influence on each other. What I would add about that is that we're not nearly as individual as we tend to be encouraged to believe. Now, you may have received different levels of indoctrination into extreme individualism. As a cisgendered, PhD-educated American white dude, I've received a fairly high degree of encouragement to see myself in a very individualistic way. There are useful things about that, but also it's very alienating and very toxic, and risks disconnecting me from the rest of life. And so what I have come to see directly and know in my bones is that even someone who has experienced and internalized extreme individualistic conditioning is not separate. That even the most separate feeling person is not separate. You can feel that way, but it's not based in reality. And so to the contrary, we moment to moment are influenced by and dreaming up and in communion with our lineages. We are one larger organism. We are not simply an individual. We're a group organism. And that's, from my point of view, that's not optional. We can be conscious about it or not conscious about it, but it's just a structural thing, that we are much more of a collective entity than we tend to realize. That applies to the ancestors generally, to the land, to many other forces, but we're going to continue in this course a focus on blood lineage ancestors, because it's a kind of on-ramp or access key, or, you know, like a library card into the greater library or collective wisdom of our species. So we all have blood ancestors. So we'll place the focus there. So that assumption is basically that we're not as individualistic as we think. It's really a continuation of that final assumption that I teach with the lineage healing work, which is that we influence each other a lot, the living and the dead. You can't really opt out of it. So the only real addition to the underlying assumptions is that supremacist views and attitudes and systems and imprints on our lineages are one of, if not the single biggest obstacle to awakening, to embodiment of non-dual teachings or non-duality, to presence, to cultivated spirituality. And it's a kind of way of constructing the world and thinking that can be worked with on a lineage level. Because I'm suggesting we are moment to moment dreaming up our lineages. And if there are supremacist imprints there, harmful, I mean, I assume they're harmful if they're there, but whether or not they're conscious, whether people in our lineages enacted harm or were the recipient of harm, when things have not been metabolized in terms of lineage level trauma, that impacts us. It affects our the degree to which we can easily embody a kind of awakening spirit. It's one way to expand our aperture, our vessel, our capacity for bigger presence. So this additional assumption is that supremacy distorts not just culture, but our spiritual development. And by focusing on it in a lineage healing way, the working hypothesis is that we can free up more presence in our own lives, in addition to assisting in a kind of repair with the lineages and with the collective. So this course, in that sense, is about experiencing awakening by whatever name. I know that language is often drawing on Buddhist or Hindu traditions as they're translated into the generalized West. But awakening or big spiritual presence is not unique to those traditions, of course. So experiencing big spiritual opening with your ancestors as the particular cultural and physical body that you are. That's what we're exploring here. In lineage terms, we're looking at how to go from good to amazing, basically healed to profoundly awake. So that should be fun. I hope that happens for you. I can say briefly about my own influences. I don't want to go on at length about that, that I am a student of history and culture. I do have a debt of gratitude to all of the folks, not only, but especially in the United States, who have been resisting for generations, really, European white supremacy, colonialism, occupation. So indigenous folks, Black folks, formerly enslaved people, people who are working to, in an anti-oppressive way, for greater justice and historical honesty and all that. And I'm not only, for one, I'm not a scholar in that way, but I, you know, I draw influence from those folks. And I'm also drawing influence from indigenous or animist teachings, earth-honoring teachings, wherever I find them. And from generalized mystical teachings as a student of Buddhism, as a practicing Muslim. And so if I'm speaking in an about anti-oppression, something like that, like, heads up that I'm not always going to follow the script of what an academic understanding of critical race theory or gender, you know, theories, whatever it might be. Respect to those bodies of work, I'm not criticizing them. I'm not often deeply informed about them. But I get the heart of the pattern, more or less, when we're talking about supremacy. So acknowledgement to European, American, North American sources and my culture of origin in the United States and Turtle Island. And I'm also drawing on other influences. I will try to cite those influences as we go. They'll be in the resources section at times. But also the level of depth is pretty basic in a lot of ways about the cultural analysis. It's more about applying it to ritual with your own lineages, with your own ancestors. And that way I'll be drawing also on my training as a psychotherapist and a doctor of psychology. So that's probably enough about my own influences. I'll say as two cultural caveats, it feels important for me to underscore that this work is not a substitute for material change, for decolonial work that changes the actual systems. It's complementary to that work. Changing the actual systems to be more just, more equitable, to address past repairs, like repairs that are needed in the present from past harms or ongoing harms, that is essential work. May nothing we're doing here in any way detract from it, but rather complement it and bring sustenance, motivation, and long-term stamina to carry out that work. And the other is that when we're talking about wellness in our lineages or well-being, our ancestral awakening, things like that, I don't want that to be heard as somehow ableist or reducing the diversity of bodies and forms and abilities and other just diversity of expression with our lineages. Well-being can look so many different ways, in magical, edgy, potent, even dangerous ways, but it is different than being more contracted, traumatized, and suffering. They're just different. And so a lot of that will be left for you to feel out with your own ancestors. But I am making a discernment between relatively contracted and stuck and in a state of suffering, or relatively connected to the rest of life, connected to compassion, connected to some kind of awakening spirit, the land, the earth, creativity, etc. So those are the foundations. And from that, we will head into a consideration of ritual safety, culturally, psychologically, emotionally, and then into direct practice. And that'll be the pattern basically for all the lessons. Like, here's some upfront teaching. Here's how we start to ground it. Here's how it really looks in practice. And now let's do those practices.